Well, as we're on the heels of Christmas Day, we're getting ready to come into New Year's. I'm excited to keep on preaching about our Savior this morning. Keep on preaching about Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about during Christmas time, we celebrate when He entered into the world. Last week, if you were here, we talked about how He entered into the world in loneliness. He entered into the world in poverty. He actually entered into the world in humiliation. Think about it. He was born in a smelly barn type area in a manger, laid in a manger, which we call now would be a feeding trough. We talked about all the different smells that would be in a barn and all the things. And to think about a mother giving birth there. We even looked at it from a man's point of view. We felt sorry for Joseph having to deal with some of those problems. Oh, I got one chuckle out of that, so I think I'm still in trouble for that one. But anyways, we even mentioned that Jesus died on this earth. He ended his life here on earth in humiliation. He was naked, hung on a cross, beaten, mocked, and scorned. Well, today we're going to get back into our study of Matthew. We're going to see exactly an actual different time of Jesus' life and His ministry. If you recall, since we've been in the of Matthew chapter 4, just in the fourth chapter, we've seen so far Jesus overcame the temptation out in the wilderness. He overcame the temptation of Satan. And then we saw Jesus actually begin His ministry. You remember, we talked about going forth with our purpose in life. We saw where Jesus was going forth. He was stepping out into His ministry. He was fulfilling His purpose for being here. And then we saw where Jesus called His first disciples. And we talked about, are we ready for the call? If Jesus came to us, are we ready to drop our nets and to follow Him? And today we're going to see how Jesus built a successful ministry. That's the title of the sermon today, is How to Build a Successful Ministry. And I was talking to Malcolm this morning. I think the pastors, we're doing a pastor's conference in Uganda. They're probably going to hear this sermon again. Which means y'all are going to have to hear it again, Dwayne and Malcolm, so I'm sorry about that. So if you doze off today, you'll catch up with it in Uganda. You see, a ministry that is going to have an internal impact, I mean, an eternal impact, if we want to have something that's going to last for eternity out of the results of our ministry, whether it be here at the church, or whatever it is in our personal life, it has to be a ministry that follows the footsteps of what Jesus Himself did. Amen? So let's read Matthew chapter 4. We're just going to read verse 23 through 25. I'm excited about next week as we start into the Beatitudes. So this is what it says. The heading over top of my translation says, crowds follow Jesus. Verse 23, starting there, says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing, the NIV, I like what it says, preaching about the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. News about Him spread as far as Syria. And people soon began bringing to Him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic, which means they were having seizures, or paralyzed, He healed them all. Verse 25 goes on to say this, large crowds followed Him wherever He went. People from Galilee, then 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just love You again this morning. Just like Terry prayed, Lord, we just thank You for that hope that You give us. God, as we go through looking exactly what Jesus went and did in His daily life, when we look at exactly what Jesus prioritized about, when we see exactly, Lord Jesus, what You did and what You cared about and what You spent Your time doing, God, help us to be challenged this morning. Help us to be encouraged this morning. Help us to be reminded of that eternal hope that You told us to preach about, that You Yourself preached about. And so, God, I just pray that as we go through this today, that You would speak to us this morning. Lord, I know that everybody here is dealing with something different. Everybody here is in a different walk with You right now, in a different season in their life. But, God, You know. And when we go through Your holy word, when we go through Your perfect scripture that was inspired by You, God, we know that You can use it in every way, in every person's life that's here today. And that's what we ask of You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage that we just read today, it shows exactly, just like what we were talking about when we were praying, when I was just talking to the Lord, it shows exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did with His time. And it also, if you look at verse 25, it shows the results of what He did. Now, I know we're only going through, three verses today, but it's a lot packed in here. If we want to know how to build a successful ministry, I don't care whether it's in this church as a body, maybe it's with me as a pastor, my ministry as a pastor of Fork Union Baptist Church, or whether it's the ministry of every believer. If you didn't know that, every believer is called into the ministry, okay? So if, whether it is whatever ministry that God has placed on your heart that you are supposed to be doing, that God wants you to do with your life and with your gifts and with your talents, we should look to the pattern of Jesus Christ to show us how a good ministry is built. Look at verse 23 again. Just glance down at that. Three things need to be noted here about Jesus and his ministry and how he ministered and where he ministered. Number one is this. Jesus went throughout all of Galilee. He said he went through all the regions of Galilee. He went throughout the entire area. He didn't just go preach once in Galilee and said, okay, God, I checked that off my list. Took care of those people. You know, they're on their own. He didn't say that. No, he was committed to the area in which God sent him to minister. Talking about foreign missions, I remember the first trip I took with Malcolm. Never been out of Fluvanna County, Harley, and I went all the way to India with Malcolm. And the whole time I was questioning myself. I'm like, man, I shouldn't be doing this or whatever. And it was the most freeing experience I've ever felt in my life, just to go somewhere, just stepping out on faith. And I had no gun on my side. I didn't have any authority over there. All I had was the authority of God's word. And my faith in Jesus Christ and my hope. And every time I was scared, I just placed my hope in him. And I came back and then I took off a year and I just, you know, I was like, well, I got that off my list. I'm a good Christian. I went on a missions trip. And then I got the opportunity to go to Zimbabwe and I went to Zimbabwe and I was talking to Malcolm and I was just so, you know, encouraged. And I remember we were standing at Antioch Baptist Church and I said, man, Zimbabwe was great. And Malcolm said, but when are you going to return to one of those places? And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean return? You know, like I went once. Isn't that good? He said, you need to go back and you need to show one of those people at least that you're committed enough, that you cared enough to come once, but it really shows something if you care enough to come back. And it changed the whole way that I looked at it and it challenged me. And I didn't like it at first because I was like, man, I don't really want to go back. Like, I don't want to sit on a plane for 20-something hours. But see, here's the great lesson for me that I learned. Here's a great lesson that we can remember through this. We are to be committed to the area that God has placed. It doesn't matter whether it's Fork Union Baptist. It doesn't matter whether it's the cubicle and you work in at work. It doesn't matter whether it's the part of the hospital that you oversee. It doesn't matter. Wherever it is, it doesn't matter if it's India, Africa, Uganda, Zimbabwe, whatever. We are to be committed to those places that God has made available for us to minister. Number two is this. The second thing we need to note and be pointed out about where Jesus ministered is this. Jesus preached and taught where there was already an audience to listen. I love that. If you look at the verse 23, look what it says. See, he knew a lot of people could be reached in one place. So where did he go to meet the people? Where did he go to preach about the kingdom? He went in the synagogues. This reminds me of the old saying that most state employees would say is, work smarter and not harder, right? So I'm not saying Jesus had the work ethic of a state employee. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it reminds me of that. He knew. He was a smart guy. He knew, not to mention he was divine, but he knew where to, he didn't go out and have to labor himself. He went to where he knew there was going to be people that were there to listen. And this leads us right into number three. The third thing to be noted about the location of where Jesus ministered is that he preached and he teached where it was expected. He knew that there would be people ready to listen. He went where preaching and teaching were expected. Now Jesus went to other places too. We know that. Jesus always went out to the places where most religious people wouldn't go. He ministered to people that were unclean in the religious world and all these things. But in this passage today, we see him playing it smart, I think. There was a lot of different synagogues in Jerusalem. In fact, I was reading this week that the synagogue was the very center and still is of the life of a devout Jew. No matter where they were scattered about, no matter how big of a town they lived in, no matter how small the town was, there was going to be a synagogue there for them to worship. This is where they worship. This is where they receive their education. And when someone came to speak, they didn't come falling asleep in the back row, whatever. Not picking on anybody sitting in the back row. But that's what we do in church. Sometimes we just, it's all we can do to drag ourselves in and we're tired and we're like, oh man, I don't feel like going to church today, whatever. They came ready to listen. They came ready to listen to whoever was going to speak in the synagogue. It's been estimated that there were somewhere around 500 synagogues just within the city in this time when Jesus was preaching. So you think about Jesus went to the synagogue. I always think about this one church in the middle of Jerusalem or whatever. But he stayed busy going to these places, reaching these Jews and talking to them. Jesus used this great opportunity to reach the Jews because he knew that they would be there every day that they came to worship. He knew that there would be ears ready to listen. Again, every believer should learn from this example. We should all be looking at what we can do where we are planted. Also in verse 23, we see the daily activities of Jesus when he was walking about in this part of his ministry. Look back at verse 23. Jesus spent his time doing three main things. What were they? They're listed right here for us in verse 23. And I think they're so powerful, but a lot of times they're overlooked because Matthew just recorded them in three little lines, in one sentence right here. We see the whole daily activity of what Jesus prioritized and what he spent his time doing. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't complacent. He wasn't selfish with his time. He stayed busy, and he stayed busy doing three things. Teaching, he stayed busy preaching or announcing the good news, and he stayed busy healing. That's the three things that we see that he was really devoted to doing. And this is what another thing that's just so perfect about our Savior. If you look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save." That's an action. He is going out actively. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. It didn't say he came to sit in church and hope that they came to church. He went out and he seeked to save those who were lost. See, Jesus, what makes him special, what makes him the Savior of the world, is that he knows the need of each one of us. He knows the need that Anthony Clore needed to be saved. What do I need in a Savior? What is Anthony Clore struggling with? What is other people, what is every person dealing with? What do they need to be saved from? We talk about that all the time. Are you saved? A lot of times we need to understand, a lot of people don't understand what they need to be saved from. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows every person's needs, and he knows the three things that he spent time doing is what was important. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Everybody needs to be taught the truth from God's word. The world's full of lies. We know the devil likes to do what? He likes to kill, he likes to steal, and he likes to destroy. He is the great deceiver. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. They need to hear the hope of Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to be taught the word of God, the truth, in a world of lies. And everybody, I don't care at what point of life you are, everybody at one point or another, and if you're like me, a daily dose of it, we need to be healed. We all need to be healed. We're all broken. This is why his daily activities were geared towards teaching, preaching, and healing. Can I remind you, church, this morning that Jesus knows what you need to be healed from this morning? We might hide it from everybody else. We might put on a smile, and we might try to think that we've got everybody fooled. There's no sense in trying to fool Jesus. Jesus knows the sin in your life. He knows the sin in my life. Jesus knows the sickness in our life, whether it's spiritual or physical. Jesus knows the struggles in my life. Jesus knows the worries in my life. He knows the sorrows that's in my life. And guess what? He also knows the remedy for it. He knows how to heal you from those things. Jesus proclaimed the hope of an eternal kingdom. Jesus came telling people there was hope for an eternal life. And he healed people both physically and, most importantly, he healed them what? Spiritually. Jesus came to show the world the truth about their Creator. See, the religious world had messed it all up. You got to follow this rule, and you got to follow this rule. And if you don't do this, then you can't come in the church. Well, you're unclean. You can't be here. And I think so many times in the church, we still get this mixed up a little bit. God sent his Son into a fallen world to teach and announce, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. In fact, if you think about it, God's mercy is being shown. It's being demonstrated right here in this passage. But we have to understand that we too, as believers, us as the church, as Fork Union Baptist, the body, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the body of Fork Union Baptist Church, we should be going out as God's instruments to show his great mercy. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? We should be the ones that are growing out. We should be that. We call this building what? What do we call this building? Sanctuary. We call it a sanctuary. And that's exactly what it should be. When somebody walks into this place, it should be a sanctuary, a safe place for them to come where they're not judged. They're not looked down on. They are off. They're just offered an open hand and say, come in, welcome home. Just like our guest card says, welcome home. We should be pouring out God's mercy on all those who will receive it. We should be teaching, we should be preaching and doing our part to heal, to bring healing into this world that only Jesus can provide. You see, when Christ healed people, what was he doing? When Christ performed these miracles, what was he actually doing? Why did he actually heal people physically? He was showing his credentials, if you think about it. He was showing, this is who I am. I'm going to show you the authority that I have. Because what do you say to the guy that was crippled, that was laying on the mat? He said, what's easier for me to say? To say that you're forgiven of your sins, or to say, get up and walk, you're healed? And see, for people, seeing is believing, right? And so he knew, he was like, they were like, who are you to tell somebody they're forgiven of your sins? And he's like, well, watch this, that ain't nothing. I can tell this guy that's been crippled his whole life to stand up. Jesus was showing his credentials. And you know what? The same thing is when we walk out on faith, when we as believers actually walk out what we say we believe, and we walk out that title of Christian in our life, and we really step out of our comfort zone, and we do things that don't make sense, and people see that, and they see us surviving it and doing great things for God, those works are our credentials as Christians. That's what shows the world that there's something different about us, and that's what's going to make them want what we have. Now, I want to remind you this morning that we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by doing all these things. That's not what I'm saying this morning. We're saved by grace. The Bible is very clear about this. But once we are saved, surely we ought to go out and share what we found with others, right? Surely that's what we should do. Jesus told his disciples this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. I don't know about you, but I didn't have to pay for my salvation. I didn't have to pay for that forgiveness that God gave me when I hit my knees and I said, oh God, forgive me for my sin. I didn't have to pay for that. God gave it to me freely. And Jesus said what? He said, go out and give it just as free as you received it. You're supposed to go out. We are supposed to go out and give it to others. The Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, for God was in Christ. Listen to this, church. Verses 19 through 20. Reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Now I want you to listen to this. He gave. All right, listen. He gave. He didn't say you had to earn it. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And I highlighted verse 20 in my notes because it says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Right, Malcolm? We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out into the world and we're supposed to be that messenger, that ambassador for Christ that says, listen to me. Listen to what I have found. Let me share with you. Let me tell you something. You don't have to live with all this. I am here to tell you from my personal experience what has happened to me and what Christ has done to me. I have been reconciled with God. Plead with you. Come back to God. You don't know what's waiting for you on the other side of this. See, this is what makes ministry important. This is what ministry should be all about. Bringing this glorious message of hope to a desperate, desperate, dying world. When we stop playing church, and we stop asking what can the church do for me, when we simply devote ourselves to doing exactly what we see in verse 23 through 25, we see Jesus doing here in this passage, then we'll see people attracted to our ministry. Whether it's individually or whether it's the church or whatever it is. Then we're going to see people wanting to come and be a part of our ministry. Maybe be a part of our life. This is when the church is going to be full of people who are there for the right reasons. This is when you have to like put chairs in the aisles because people are coming to be healed. See, they want that Savior. They want to find a Savior. And we should have that place here in this sanctuary that's ready and willing to accept them so they can receive that forgiveness and that healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. Look at verse 24. I'm going to read 24 again so we can get back on track here. Verse 24 says this, news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. I love that. Here we see the news about Jesus spreading throughout Syria. It was spreading so fast that like the internet probably couldn't even keep up with it nowadays. People from all around were coming to receive the healing power of Jesus Christ. There was no person that did not need him. There was no person too great or too least for Jesus to heal them. No matter what walk of life, no matter what person the person was dealing with, everybody was in the same need that all of us need, is the need of forgiveness and the need to be reconciled with God. And this news was spreading like wildfire. I just read a devotion this week that some of us are doing. And it was talking about how good news actually spreads faster than bad news. Now, we think in the world like, oh, well, you watch the news and all you see is bad news. But you know that we're reading about studies have shown that when people actually go out and share good news, it just naturally spreads faster than bad news. But the problem is we don't have anybody actually going out spreading good news. Everybody likes to whisper about the bad news. But in order for this good news to spread, people have to really believe that what they're saying and what they're spreading is the truth. They really have to believe that it's good. Think about it. If you've experienced personally something that is excellent, it's just natural for you to want to go tell everybody else about it, right? Think about a new store. If you received a good service at a restaurant and the food was excellent, what do? You say, man, you have got to go check this place. It's the best steak I've ever had in my life. You will not be disappointed. Or a new product or this phone. Don't get an iPhone. Get this kind of phone. Get an iPhone. Don't get this kind of phone. Whatever. We like to share the things that we had good experiences with. This is how it should be with us as believers. We should want to share what we have found, which is better than any store-bought thing that we can get, with other people. It should just be natural for us. Here in verse 24, we see a lot of people, what they're doing is they're flocking to Christ. And you want to know why they were flocking to Him? It's because they saw that Jesus had the power, that glorious power, to heal their disease, to heal their sickness, to forgive them. And if you really look at verse 24, you'll see three specific healings that are listed right here that Matthew recorded. There was spiritual healing. There was a physical, or there was a mental healing, which those were having seizures. The spiritual healings were those who were demon-possessed. And then there was a physical healing. It says those who were suffering, those who were in pain. You see, Christ, what do we call Him? We call Him the great what? The great physician, right? So why do we call Him that? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this: there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. See, there is no limit to Christ's ability to heal us. We have to understand that this morning. I've heard people say, well, I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone. You don't understand, Pastor, what I've done in my life. I've heard people in Zimbabwe. I was ministering to a young man on the side of the road, and we just stopped and started talking with him. And we sat on this little banister of a little storefront out near the road. And he said, I drink too much. I deal with too many prostitutes. And here we are in the bush of Africa. And I don't think that maybe they can relate to the problems that we deal with here in America. We're in the bush of Africa, and this guy was dealing with lust. He was going and seeing prostitutes. He was dealing with gambling, and he was dealing with alcohol abuse. Sounds like someone that would think they're too far gone in America, doesn't it? And I had to reassure him. I said, you know what? I said, sin is sin, brother. I said, I have sinned, and I'm a pastor of a church. You know, I was looking at the other team members and the other pastors from Zimbabwe. It's like, they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we share those things with them. We have to understand there's no limit to His ability to heal us. And we as believers are to be pointing others to Him, and not just with their words, but also by our actions about how we live our life. John chapter 20, verse 21, says Jesus again. It says, again, He said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now let's look at verse 25 and we'll close with this. In verse 23, we saw that Jesus, what He did in His ministry. And now here in verse 25, we're actually going to see the results of His ministry. Here are the two things that I see happening, that we're going to see happening in His ministry. Number one is large crowds were following Him. People were flocking to Him. And number two, they came from where? They didn't come from just everywhere. They were coming from everywhere to listen to Jesus and to be healed by Jesus. Jesus' ministry, his ministry was successful because He stuck to the basics. Think about it. I was talking to someone on the Christmas Eve service. They said, this is what America needs, is to come back to the basics, where we just gather and we sing the hymns and we sing and we worship God and we just come and we remember what Christmas is all about. He stuck to the basics. He knew what the people needed. Jesus healed them, and He offered them hope. And these were the results. Large crowds from everywhere flocked to Him. This is what happens, church, when our ministry is built in the right way. It isn't built to attract people. See, that's what the churches are getting caught up in nowadays. I've been guilty of it. We get caught up in the thing where we have to attract people to come. We have to attract people to come into our church. Let's do the latest thing to attract people to come to our church. But what we really need to do is do exactly what Jesus is doing, and then people will naturally be drawn to it and be attracted to it. Amen? Are y'all following with me this morning? See, there was nothing fancy, there was nothing trendy about Jesus Christ. From his birth, through his clothing, through his genealogy, there was nothing fancy, there was nothing royal, there was nothing trendy about our Savior Jesus Christ. He simply preached the gospel. He simply loved the people, and he healed people. He offered them hope. We've experienced growth here in the last year and a half in this church, and praise God for that. And this church is doing a great job, I believe, in striving to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Everyone is active doing their part. We're serving. We've got the firewood ministry. We've got the WMU. We've got all these missions meals. We've got people going out doing different things that people in the church don't even know is going on. Setting up ministries, reaching out to people. I've seen church members literally doing the pastor's job after church on Sunday, meeting with people and counseling and encouraging people. And I come up and I say, do you need me to talk to you? And they said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to this person. That's a healthy church. But what we have to realize is this. The more that we do this, the more that we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the more that we preach and teach the truth, the more that we stick directly to the truth from God's Word, the more that we become a place where it's known that people become and they're accepted and they receive healing from Jesus Christ, the more people are going to start to come. And the thing that we have to realize about that is they're probably not going to come with the latest cologne on and the nicest tie and suit and tie. They might not come with the biggest checkbook or the nicest clothes or whatever. They might not come with a clean criminal background, but they're going to come. And we have to be ready to accept them, church, just like Jesus did. This is true with us individually. It's true with us as a body, as a church. And you know why? It's because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did himself. We all need those three things. We need to hear the gospel. We need to be taught the truth. And we need to be healed. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? We have to be ready to be God's instruments of mercy. We have to be ready to lead others to that great physician. And we need to be ready to open our lives to those who need it, who need Jesus Christ, the one that we've already found. So I'm going to read you this quote that I read this week, and it says this. I saw it just yesterday. It says, a church that doesn't reach out to its city isn't a church. It's a country club. And that's something we have to realize, and we have to be careful, and we have to keep in the forefront of our mind, that we keep striving to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And we realize that this church is not ours. It belongs to God. It belongs to his community. And our job is to go out and to show people what we have found. If you're here this morning, the closing hymn, the title of it is Out of My Bondage, Sorrow, and Night. If you're here this morning and you don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you've heard the gospel before, you've heard the truth preached before, but you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never said, God, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. That's what this time is for. Come, and I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to just... You can come and pray if you want, and you can accept the Lord right where you're sitting. But do not leave this place today without getting your life right to be reconciled with God through the price that's already been paid for you through Jesus Christ. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, if you need prayer, maybe you want to join the church, whatever it is, that's what this time is for. Come as we sing hymn number 329, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow, and Night.